Blog Talk Radio.
I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father.
Hello, welcome, dear listeners, to Solution Radio here on Zambia Blog Talk Radio. This is your favorite host, Prophetess Mwaka Twajira Yesu from Dallas, Texas. So happy once again to be able to share this wonderful, empowering, enriching, enlightening, informative hour with you. We thank God for this media platform and the great opportunity to just share, to dialogue, to discuss from the Word of God, of course, love, relationship, friendship, marriage, and family. For the last 2 years, we have had so many wonderful guests, and we have discussed so many topics pertaining to love, to marriage, to family. You know, relationships are so, so important. We know that marriage is God's idea. It is the Lord who said it is not good for man to be alone. And we know what the Word of God says about having a godly, godly home. And I believe we, the 21st century church, must be an example. The divorce rate in the kingdom is actually higher than that in the world. And so this is how this program was birthed. It was just a passion to just challenge us as God's people to go back to the Word of God when it comes to love, to relationships, to marriage. Because when we pattern it after the Word, if we do it how God designed it, it will work. Marriage works. Marriage is wonderful. Marriage is a blessing. So we want to thank all of you who've been tuning in. And as you always hear me say, we want to hear from you how this program is helping you, is ministering you, is changing you. It's been a great, great journey of learning for all of us. Do like our page on Solution, or rather on Facebook. It's called Solution Radio. We are on every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, every Tuesday, once a week. We had a great, great, great program last Tuesday with Prince Matthew Chua and Princess Irene Chua from my hometown in Boston. I tell you, they blessed our socks off. But before I invite them and welcome them to continue with part two, I just want to invite all of you. As you know, every April we have our annual spring prophetic conference hosted by Fresh Aroma Ministry. This is the biggest outreach we do, and it's just a wonderful get together of all our friends and partners and pastors and spiritual sons and daughters. And every April, they all come to Dallas. And I tell you, every conference gets bigger and better. The speakers are outstanding. The worship is phenomenal. There's something so powerful about God's people coming together in that corporate anointing. There's so many testimonies of what God has done. So the singers have been rehearsing since January. The preachers are ready. They keep calling. calling, texting, wishing this conference could come quickly. There's such anticipation in the air. The date, April the 16th to the 19th. I'm sure you've seen it all over Facebook, April the 16th to the 19th. If you haven't gotten your air ticket, please do so. If you haven't called the hotel, the Sheraton Hotel, please do so. Mention the fresh aroma rate, and they'll give you a special rate. But don't miss this conference. People are coming from everywhere, all over the USA, Uganda, Kenya, Zambia, as far as Kuwait. And so it is going to be awesome. This year, as you know, you've been hearing us say we are celebrating 25 years of serving the Lord. We are so grateful that the Lord has kept us, sustained us. What an honor, what a privilege to touch our generation with the love and with the power of God. So Saturday, during the conference, we'll be having a silver jubilee dinner, a very classy, elegant, excellent black tie dinner. The dress code is formal evening ball gowns and tuxedos. So please get yourselves ready, and the colors are silver, black, or white. Please do us a favor. Don't come in pink or red or green. We've been telling you the colors. 25, the number, the color for 25 is silver. And if you know anything about me, I'm really picky about those colors. So you can, on all the other days, you can wear all the other colors. But on that Saturday, it is silver, black, or white. So we are looking forward. And, of course, again, please get your tickets in advance. You can call Shiko. You can go on our website during the conference. We will not be selling any tickets. Actually, the deadline is March the 14th. The hotel, they've actually been very gracious. They've been asking and asking and like, you know, give us a few more days, one more week. So the final day to get your silver jubilee dinner tickets are Saturday, or rather, is on March the 14th. If you have any questions about what I've said, I hope, Shiko, you can announce again somewhere in the program, because I'm sure we'll get more calling. So that is the conference, the Silver Jubilee. You're all welcome. We want to just celebrate together. We want to give God the glory. It's going to be a very exciting dinner with a fashion show, live gospel band, exquisite food. You get to meet people from all nations or from all over the USA. I mean, it's going to be an event you don't want to miss, to the glory of the Lord. And so we can't wait to see you in April. Well, again, if you have just tuned in, this is Prophetess Mwaka on Solutions Radio here on Zambia Blog Talk Radio. We are continuing with part two of international marriage, and we were so enriched, so blessed by Prince Matthew and Princess Irene. They were so real, they were so sincere, so passionate. We could feel that love, and we could just feel that unity and harmony. Mr. and Mrs. Chua, are you on Solution Radio this evening?
Yeah, we're on the radio. We just want to greet all the listeners.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for taking time once again to just come and be a blessing to these wonderful listeners and to share your story. I got so many texts, so many wonderful comments. People were so encouraged by your testimony, and they were so refreshed. It's so nice, you know, to see and feel a couple that are genuinely in love, love God, love one another, respect one another. It was so refreshing. There's a theme you spoke about, Matthew, and you talked about how your dad used to say, work together, plan together, pray together. That is so powerful. And that's what we want to discuss. Is lovely, the lovely Princess Irene. Is she on the line this evening that she can greet the listeners?
Yes, praise God. I'm here and I'm really excited to be able to share another time with all the listeners. And I just want to greet each one of them and welcome to the radio.
Wonderful. Good to hear your voice, my dear. How are you all doing with all that snow? Every time they talk about Boston, they keep showing snow and more snow and more snow and canceled flights. How are you all doing and coping over there?
Oh, my goodness. As it's still snowing again tonight and everybody is so fed up. Because it's like March, we're supposed to be spring and fall. But it's like, what? More snow? You know, you just have to deal with it. I think we're getting about 4 inches so far today.
So are you all going to work and church, or is everything closed down?
Actually, we missed a lot of work this winter when there was a blizzard, yeah. We missed quite a few days of school and a few days of work. Church only once, though.
Church
only once. But the kids missed a lot of school, so they're going to be in school until end of June to make
wow.
up.
Wow.
I know.
Oh, dear.
I know.
Well,
I know.
You know, it's amazing. Here we had very little snow, but I tell you, the schools were shut down in a minute, and our boys always laugh. They're like, come on, this is not snow. I mean, this is child's play.
It's adapting.
You know, they are such New Englanders. They actually miss the snow. And they're like, oh, we want to make snowmen and slide down the hill. And I'm like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But anyway.
Yeah, because they're making... Go ahead.
Yes, go ahead.
They're making tunnels. Like, people, kids are playing in tunnels. They're making a proper tunnel for kids to go under because the feet, I mean, it's 5 feet of snow. That's like as tall as I am, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Wow,
yeah.
That will be fun. You know, I wanted to ask you all a question. You had a very beautiful, elaborate wedding. I mean, that wedding looks like it really took a lot of planning, a lot of detail, a very large bridal party.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, many times when couples are preparing for weddings, this one wants this one doesn't agree with this color. So how did you all work together? Because I know on the line today, I'm sure some engaged couples who are dating, maybe one wants a big royal wedding, another one wants just something simple, one wants 6 bride in the bridal party, another one wants 15. So how did Mr. and Mrs. work on that?
Honestly, it just had to take a lot of compromise. I personally would probably have had 6 in total, maybe. But my husband wanted the whole entourage. But now I thank God that I said yes because it just looked so beautiful.
It was magnificent.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, by God's grace. And then when
it came, taken a lot of work.
Yes, it was a lot of work. But what can I say? It just took the hand of God. It took, let's just say, you know how you plan a wedding? We didn't really expect it to be like that. It's like just the glory of God came and shone through so much that he just magnified it even to like a bigger extent. And what we found was God was just opening doors after doors after doors. He, like the venue... The venue I was, it was like referred to by a workmate who knew someone. And then from there, even just the venue itself was a miracle. I remember when we went, because it's a huge venue, they said, oh, you can't get the venue at this short notice because we went in September. And they said, this venue is always booked like months ahead. I don't know what you're going to do. There's an event that's supposed to be on that same day that you want it. And so what I said to my husband is, we're just going to go home, touch and agree, and trust God for this venue. They were like, 3 people are ahead of you. 3 other companies have booked this venue for that same day. So we went home and we prayed, and the next day, the man called and he said, "I don't know what God you prayed to, but the other two people backed out. So the venue is all yours."
What?
Yes, it was just miraculous after miraculous after miraculous. That's how I worked out. Because
did the two of you pray? Were you like every day praying in agreement? Lord, we believe for finances. Lord, we believe for this.
Really?
Have you heard her? Listeners, she was asking, where are we? Definitely, we are praying every day. Because, first of all,
some people who are shy to ask these questions, so I have to ask on their behalf.
Yes, indeed, we were praying every day. Because when you are trying to do something, what God wants, get to know that even the enemy is behind you.
Right.
You know the enemy doesn't want marriage. Even us coming to the radio to give the testimonies, to pray, to do whatever we do, we first pray, we first put ourselves into the blood, under the blood of Jesus. You know, the enemy always fights marriages. And people used to give us, some others had dreams, others were talking against it, others were with us. So when people come and gives you different kind of, I had this in the dream, I had this, some were positive, some were negative. So you need to pray so that you confirm the positive dreams or you rebuke the negative dreams people had about you. So we were praying, and people need to pray. People need to pray for their weddings. It's kind of, you know, you need to intercede in prayer for your wedding because you don't know what might happen. So we were praying.
I was looking at the, you know, just how detailed it was, and the bridesmaids were beautiful, and Matthew, you had your royal suit, and I said, no, this took some work, some prayer, some unity, some favor. You know, good things don't just happen. You know, so I just wanted you to encourage the dating and the engaged couple, you know, just the power of agreement and the power of working together. So, Irene, you said you wanted something small, and of course the royal prince wanted the royal wedding. So practically, how did you decide on, you look like you had about, what, 10 bridesmaids or something?
I think we had 10, right? We had 10, but it's so, the interesting thing is, because it was two cultures, the Kenyan and Ugandan, everybody worked so well together. They all were able to go for their dresses. And remember, they had to get two dresses for changing. And, you know, that's not normally in the Kenyan culture. We don't change during the reception. So the colors, I wanted pink. My husband wanted purple. So we just found like a good, you know, a good
magenta
to kind of mix. So it kind of ended up being like purple, but I still got the pink theme that I wanted. So it was just compromising here and there. And I think, to be honest, along the way, my husband just decided, you know what, this is our wedding. She wants pink flowers, she wants pink everything. So he allowed me to also have the things I wanted. And I also just allowed him to just have the things that he wanted. So it's just working together and compromising along the way. That's what I can say. Because sometimes we women, we can take over. But I think I have a husband who really knew also what he wanted on his wedding. So, you know, we both had to. And I had never seen a man so involved. He was there for every appointment. He never missed the cake appointment. He never missed the flower appointment.
Wow.
Yes, he was there for every appointment. He even wanted to see my dress. I'm like, honey, no. That's a surprise. You know, he wanted to choose it as a dress. I'm like, baby. But actually, yeah, we ended up going shopping. Like, you know, we just kind of wanted him to, just to kind of get a feel for what kind of dress he would like. So we ended up going to like a totally different shop where, just to kind of feel what he would like and what he wouldn't like. And thank God we did that, because I didn't realize he wanted the long veil. You know, that long veil. And
yes,
nowadays,
the royal, the
and nowadays
Diana
the girls
veil,
like,
of course.
And you know, nowadays girls are doing the little short veil, the one that comes on your head like a little hat.
Uh-huh.
And when we tried the hat, he was like, "Oh my God, what is that?" So I said, "Oh, so my sister."
That was a scarecrow.
My husband called it a scarecrow. I'm like, "So I told my sister." "Oh, good thing we came out with him. So at least we didn't end up getting that scarecrow." He's like, he wants to open the veil, and you know.
Oh, and of course it had to be long, like Princess
and it
Guy.
Had to
I tell
be
you,
long.
He's truly a prince.
Absolutely.
But you know, I really want to commend you, Matthew, for going with her to, you know, to see the cake and the flowers. You know, that means so much from a
yes.
woman's point of view. I know many ladies said, wow, like me, because most guys would be like, okay, you go do the flowers, the cake, it doesn't matter, choose, you know, kind of, they don't mean to be abrupt, but they don't realize just the guy coming, it just shows he's interested, he's involved, he cares, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, Matthew, what made you interested in even going to, or rather accompanying her to see the cake, the flowers?
Actually, for that case, first of all, I knew that you make a wedding, you make it once.
Hmm.
It's not like education where you graduate today, you get a bachelor's and you get master's and you get PhD. If you
uh-huh.
have any problem in the first graduation, you improve it on the second graduation. And this is, I know that, you know, my mom used to tell me three things also, that a person has three ceremonies or weddings in the life. The wedding when you are born, you'll never see that one. Everybody will be happy, will be rejoicing, but your eyes will be closed. Another wedding, the second wedding, that's when you marry or when you get married. That one you can say, I want to put on this, I want to do this, I want to do that. You can even be against your parents or your friends and you say, for me, I need this.
Uh-huh.
The third wedding, when you are going back to heaven, you might need a white suit and they say, we shall put him in a black suit. There you don't talk, you don't do anything. So I say, I have to make sure that this second wedding, I do all my dreams wanted things to be. I used to say some things when I was very young that I need this song, so I'll make sure I will dance that song on my wedding, and they prayed it. So, in this case, I would say that, you know, it made me to, I knew what I wanted. And I had to make it. Yeah, it was, you know, I knew. Even if my wife was, because I used to say that, like, I need 12 grooms, 12 disciples, 12 tribes of Israel. You know, that's where I was. So that's why we tried. I wanted to make, you know, some number, godly number, you know. That's why I was really trying to make my things to be big, but I know that the wedding is done once, so I have to make whatever I could, because I won't do it again. That's why, you know,
wow.
I have to make sure that I do whatever I do. I can't redo it again. Yeah.
I like that, that it happens only once, so you go above and beyond, you get involved. You work together. So let's talk about that, what your dad taught you about working together, planning together. are praying together, especially the planning together, because you find many couples, one is doing this, one, you know, you don't, it's that agreement, you know, it may start off, but somewhere in the middle, you know, this one is doing that. So how do you plan together?
Yeah, that's a good question. How do you plan together? First of all, you plan together after knowing what are your ambitions. Are you on the same track? What are your goals? Because if you get your partner, you ask your partner, what are your, you know, what are your goals? What are your plans? And somebody says, you know, my plans after my bachelor's degree, I want to marry you. After marrying you, you know, we start building, we work together, you know, things like that. You start planning things together. So for that case, I would say, you want to say something?
Okay,
yeah. So
planning together. So it's just basically like every day, I love that my husband asks me, what are we doing today? So at least we have an agenda for the day of what has to be accomplished, so we are both on the same page. So simple things like, okay, you're dropping off the child to daycare, I'll pick her up, or you're going to go grocery shopping, I'll do this other thing. So that way we are, you know, we're not like blame each other, you didn't do this or you didn't do that. We both are on the same page when we wake up. Over the weekend, we do the same thing. If there are social functions that need to be done, we are planning, okay, we're going to make it to this one, or we're not going to make it to this one, or we're going to wake up on Saturday morning, we're going to do this, this, this. So you just plan at the beginning of the day, and it just goes better that way. That's how I see it.
And some plans, you know, you don't need even to put a lot of effort or something that I'm planning this. There are some things which are really automatic. I would say you just look at your calendar. If today's what? The date?
The
third?
Yeah.
If today is 3rd of March 2015, definitely tomorrow it will be 4th. You know? 4th of March 2015. Let us try to always put things in that kind of sequence. So if you know that, okay, my wife, she has gone to pick the child. What next? Okay, let me prepare the evening tea, and I prepare water for my daughter to take maybe bath or what, you know, you prepare the bathroom for her or you make her bed. You know, that's how, you know, that's how things really goes. So I would say that planning, there are some things we need to plan, and there are some things which is automatically, we don't even have to waste time in it. Yeah, for example, I came to, by the time I came in 2 hours back, I was coming from school, but in our driveway, one of the cars was already ahead, and I had to clear the snow before I parked. I knew that I had to do that. So that's another kind of planning. So the moment I was doing that, then she was making some tea for me that, you know, I know when he comes in, he'll need something hot to drink, because even we are going to minister. She was already with her Bible, trying to look up for some kind of quotes from the Bible. So I would say that planning, some things are automatic. Other things you have to sit on the table, you know, and you say, you know what, these are our goals. Yeah, and
fantastic.
You cannot plan unless you have goals.
That's right. I love that spirit of teamwork. I love the togetherness. So what about when there are misunderstandings? Because I'm sure, like every couple, there are those moments where one is understanding in Greek Another one is understanding in Hebrew. So how do you deal with the holy, do we call them here, the holy disagreements?
Actually, that's really good. Those are the holy disagreements. I love it. Still my father. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm very proud of my father. You know, I always talk my father. Because my
that's
father...
Good.
Yeah, my that's father and my mother, they have been together for 47 years in marriage. They'll be making 48 years May 4th this year.
Wow.
So, I used to ask them that, how do you do things? My mom used to tell me some of the stuff that, you know, you help your wife, you do what, when it's pregnant, you have to know how to cook. I got some knowledge from my mom. And I got some knowledge from my dad that, you know, maybe ladies want to argue so much, but, you know, don't argue with the lady so much. It doesn't take your manhood. You are still the man in the house. So that is compromising. So to answer your question, when such, you know, putting out comes, you know, in Greek, as you said, you as a man, it's always good to give your wife a chance. Because when you try to overtake, it will look as if you were a dictator in the house. People will think as if, you know, you are just, I don't know how I can say, you are just controlling them. So in that case, I would say that it's good you give your wife a chance. Or you can say, last time I gave you a chance about this, I think this time let it be my chance. So...
Is that how
you find it out? Yeah, maybe my chance to work it out, to see, you know. If I fail, then I know we've learned, because we, you know, we learn from our mistakes. Right.
Oh, wow, I like that. But, you know, both of you're blessed to come from solid families. They honor marriage. You are both close to your parents, so they shared with you a lot. But there are people who don't have that. They don't have the example. They didn't really have a mentor, you know, to look up to. They didn't have, or if they did, they were not close to their parents. So how would you help, like, you know, a man who has never seen his mother being treated well, being treated like a lady, being provided for? Matthew, how would you minister and encourage a young man like that?
I would say that in the Bible, I have to look for it, but it's there. I think it is in Philippians. It says, an iron sharpens an iron. So I would love to tell those men who never had such a chance say that that's why we have mentors, or that's why we have this radio, things like this, books, you know, seminars, conferences. About marriage conferences. For example, mom, if you come here and you say, we are going to make a marriage conference in Boston, I'm telling you, I don't know whether you'll have enough space. Because even no one has ever thought about that. We've never had them, sincerely. Maybe the churches do them on their basic thing. But if you say that marriage is something international, people want to hear, to know. Because they are going through a lot of divorces, a lot of fighting, a lot of misunderstandings, a lot of things are going on, and others are seeking, they are looking for wives to marry, others are looking for men to get married too. So whenever somebody hears such, that's a huge thing, that's a big, 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 big ministry, because it's a ministry which comes out with results, and, you know, you cannot even be a president of the United States of America if you are not married.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Even being a pastor and you are not married, I'm not saying that you won't minister. You will minister, but question marks behind there you won't know.
Exactly.
How is he minister? He prays for those single people and is really in the spirit. What comes next, you know? Definitely, people who Christ might not think about that in that way, but people who are not yet born again, they will say, those are his people, you know? He can't really. How can that minister be there without... Even the Bible talks about it.
You
make your family and what, and you start step and you go ahead. So I would love to say that books, things like that, they really can help. And if not books, even when you saw your daddy mistreating your mom, and your mom used to cry behind the chain, crying, you know, your dad has beaten me, things like that. I know by that time when you were young, you never liked it to see your mom having tears, shedding tears. So when you grow up, you don't beat your wife. Things which really used to hurt you, used to hurt your mom, don't do them. That's another way. Unless you didn't grow up in a family where there is a man or what. Even if you grew up in a family where maybe you grew up with your uncle or your aunt, things your auntie didn't like, don't do them, or your uncle, you know? But things you saw that, these people were so happy, they used to do this. Let that be your foundation. And you start from there. Because we don't, at least, you know, we can't say that you just came from the moon and you landed on the planet and you don't know what's going on. At least somewhere where I used to sleep, there is something.
I really like that sometimes to do the opposite. Like, for example, I come from a family. They're very educated, very high up, but when it comes to marriage, oh my goodness, terrible. I mean, just a lot of divorce. The few who are married are so unhappy. So as a young bride, I really didn't have role models, and I really had to say, Holy Spirit, I need you to teach me, because I didn't have an example to look up to. And so we've worked over and above, you know, because both of us didn't really have good examples. Right. And concerning marriage conference, somebody just texted me and said, you see what Matthew is saying? Because they had said, you know, next time during the conference, we should have a session. But we used to do these big, big Valentine events in Boston, Matthew. I think it was before you came, but Irene used to come.
Right.
And they used to be jam-packed. Not only was it just a nice time of dressing up and having fun, but we would have panels. You know, different speakers talk about different things, and it helped so many, many people. But, you know, stuff like that is a lot of work and time, but we believe God that...
And commitment.
You know, we will see. We will see how to put all that together. Before we open it up to questions, there's another very important question. Irene, how have you gotten the Kenyan community to embrace him? And Matthew, how have you gotten the Ugandan community to embrace him? Because sometimes when you marry from different communities, you know, they have like an attitude, but there are girls in our community or there are men in our community. Why did you have to go? So how do you do that for each other?
First of all, I have to say that, what's that saying? There's a Swahili word that says, kibaya chajitembeza, like the bad shows itself off, right? But the good just also shows itself off. So sometimes, to be really honest, I don't even really have to work hard at people loving Matthew. They just meet him, they just get to know him, and they just love him because he's a good person. He has so much favor with people. It's not like I have to go advertising him and saying this or that or that. When the moment they meet him, they just get to know that
he's likeable, right?
He's a likable person. He's a happy guy.
I mean,
and I think And he'll tell you, but I think that's the same thing that happened to me in his community, and he'll talk about it. But anybody who met me, I'm not pretending this is me, you know, this is my heart. I'm not, you know, I love people. I want to engage. And so your character just sells you. So now
I like
on top
that.
Of that, yeah, your character will sell you who you are. So, and of course, the favor of God, that's the most important thing. Favor speaks. Favor
yes.
opens doors, I mean, favor, but then also your character has to sustain you. So, the other thing I could say is edifying. My husband would talk about me everywhere we went. He would introduce me to all his people, the whole community. He'd be like, meet my wife, you know, like, when he has time to talk about me in church or in a public gathering, he'll be like, meet the beautiful wife that God has given me. She's a noble woman, you know?
Wow. Yes.
Hardworking, you know, he'll edify me. And so the words that he speaks about me in public, that's how the public will embrace me. But
yes.
if he was stand there and say negative things about me, then that's how the community will take me. And so it's the same thing as me. When I stand in front of people and I talk about my husband, I am very proud. And we are not pretending. I am proud that this is the man that God gave me. This is my handsome prince. He's very loving, very hardworking, very lovable, very charismatic. He's very charming. You know, this is him. He's Prince Charming. So it's about edifying each other. We are each other's rock.
Wow. So like at church, when he's so overwhelmed by the presence of God and gets onto the stage and just joins the worship team, how do you feel?
You know what? That's he's got to do what he's got to do. That's his relationship with God. I'm not going to stand there and start saying, oh, my God, what is he doing? No, I'm happy that, you know, I can embrace the gift that God has put in him. Let him go. Let him worship.
Yeah.
Me, if I want to glide prostrate on the floor and sob the whole time in the presence of God, oh, he'll cheer me on and say, baby, you know, you're the prayerful woman. You're a worshiper. Go ahead. You know, he'll embrace me and let me do that, because that's different. That's now our relationship.
Let me talk
with
about
God.
That.
Yeah.
Prophetess, I'm so happy that you chose that you asked us that question. First of all, this is what I have to say about it. David, the Bible says that David really danced to the extent of even losing his garments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a king, but he danced.
Mm-hmm.
What about if a king who has all can dance for the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I usually have that question. If the king could dance for the Lord, if someone who has something bowed down for the road, what about you who want something?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you need to lie down.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So I would say that it's really, 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 really important to leave people, when it comes to God, some people to express their ways before God. That's their ways of maybe communicating or loving or working with God. I don't know how I can say that. But for me, praising, dancing for the Lord, I can even go crazy. I'm sorry to say this, but, you know, I will say it. I'm sorry if there are some Bostonians who are listening. I used to have a friend, you know, but she was like, oh, Matthew, I know he's a prince, but when he goes to church, he dances for the Lord as if he's not a prince. I don't like that.
I know.
When she said that, I noted it. And I said, this is not my partner. Because if I can shake my waist and my hand says, or my rib, one of my ribs says that, when you shake your waist, for us, the ribs will feel bad. Then you know that there is something wrong with your joints. There is something wrong with your tendons or your ligaments. So when she said that, I was so perturbed about it in my spirit. And I remember the woman who told the king the same thing in the Bible. How that's like that and your shame and, you know. She lost the favor. I think I never had children with the king. So I was like, God, you've answered this to me. Because when it comes to God, if I shout, if I run, if I do what, that is me. But when we come home, you can tell me, honey, don't just go outside of the, you know, the compound and you start shouting on the cars, you know, funny things. You behave as if you are not a prince. Then I will listen and say, oh, yeah, you are right. I have to, you know, I have to behave in this way. But if I enter the gates of our Lord God, you have no control about me. Unless I'm praying, maybe some, I don't know what I can say. That's God. Just leave me. I praise my Lord and I do whatever I could do.
You know, and but that is just, you know, the freedom you give one another. Because I remember you were telling me some time back, I think just when you were dating Irene, you had gone to some function and immediately she went on her knees to worship. And you said to you, that just sealed the deal. You know, she was not trying to be cute, make sure her hair's in place and her mascara doesn't get mixed up. Honey, girlfriend was on the floor. And that really blessed me. So you've both given each other that freedom, you know, to express your love and your passion for God. So keep it up. It is beautiful. I understand we have a lot of questions. They're like, okay, Prophetess, it's our turn now. So Ms. Shiko, let's open up the line. We want to hear from the wonderful listeners.
Yes, we do have a caller, area code 405. Your last four digits are 5357. You are welcome.
All right. Thank you for the chance, Shiko. Now, I have a question. It had to do with the other session that we had last time. I want to direct it to Irene, you know. From my background, I come from a family, from a broken family. My mom and my dad divorced a long time ago. And my dad was rich, but my mom wasn't. After divorce, I don't know what happened, but we didn't get much of his money or whatever, and he continued with his rich life, and we really struggled. My mom really struggled. And from that point, I developed a fear within myself. I don't know how to put everything together with somebody else. To me, it really became a big deal to me. I don't know how to put all my faith there, that all my finances, my everything. I always have this fear, oh, my God, what he would build an empire, and then, you know, he starts behaving, and I want to go. Or if I don't go, I would have to live miserable with him because I don't want to leave everything I have worked hard for. How do you deal with that fear? How do you conquer that fear?
Wow. And, you know, having what you're saying is very, thank you for sharing that. Because actually, I can tell you my background. My mom and dad were married for 20 years and then they divorced. And my mom ended up losing a lot of what they worked hard together. But then from there is when she started a prayer saying that my children will never divorce. And and I saw her broken. I saw her feeling the loss of losing her stuff, and now telling us that, you know what, stuff doesn't mean anything, you know, as long as she has Jesus and everything like that. So, I mean, I can totally relate with what you're saying. So I also now had to deal with that in terms of prayer. Like, I just had to pray a lot and ask God that, you know what, whatever happened in my mother's home will never happen to me. And I began to really seek God and pray again. If that was ever going to be a generational thing or whatever, I began to break that in the name of Jesus. And I began to see God heal my heart to see that, you know what, when I give you what's yours, you won't even have to worry. Now, they say marriage is a risk. I think that's one of our pastors said that. But again, when you're walking with God and God gives you your right partner and you know this is your mate for life, you are going to do your part as a woman of God and just have faith. Have faith in God. You know what? Mm-hmm. God will unite us. So in this time that you're trusting God for a husband, begin to pray that God unite us, unite our thoughts, unite our finances, unite everything that concerns us. So that when I join, take away this fear that I have right now, fear of divorce, fear of losing, take it away from me. And just begin to pour in me that which you had started at the very beginning concerning my life. So I can just say, you know, it will take a lot of prayer and just also believe that when God joins the two of you, you will not even be afraid. You will just start working together and start to build your home and just pray that God is, you know, we will never have to break apart. We will always work financially in unity. It's faith. I can just say it takes a lot of faith.
In addition to that, maybe my wife, she had such kind of bad experience about what her mom went through. But in my sight, they are still together. They are going to make 50 years in marriage.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I'm proud of that. So this is what I want to say. What thing, my sister, what things are you talking about you worked with a man and you think of divorce? In fact, what you should have been worried to, just making a divorce, because you invited people to your wedding, you came up with children, now they're going to see daddy lives in Waltham, maybe mom lives in Worcester. I think you would have been worried about that, your kids, not things. Because I want to assure you, the television my dad bought in 1977, before even I was born, you can't relate it to the television of 2000. I'm talking about the television as a set of television, or a car he was driving in 1960. You can't relate it to the car of 2000. So, to me, I don't know whether I just have a rich heart. I wouldn't see things, even if my wife would say now that, you know what, I'm done with this. I tell her that I don't need to take anything, whether I want it together or not. Because of my children, for me, I will just go. You just do things. Because these things are really nothing. So I would love to tell you, don't consider things first than life. Think of the life. Think of the future. Because you're saying maybe the man has taken all the money, has taken all this, you know. I feel so hurt. What? People make things. Our God is a rich God. You just think of the vows you made before God, that until death separates us, until we go to heaven, and just get worried of the kids who are going to be mentally disturbed, perturbed, that my mom lives in Texas and my dad lives in Washington, D.C. Why? How comes? Is your dad having an international job in Washington, D.C.? No. Then they put a big word. They are divorced. Think of those things. Don't let us not think about the things. Let us think about the agreements or the vows we made, we make before God. Because we are just even, in this world, it's just a transition. We are going to heaven. We are just here, just a few years, 125 years. That's the Bible says that God said not more than 125 years in Genesis. So, if you have 25 years, you have another 100. Then the rest of the time, where are you going to be? These things are nothing. Yeah, I know people will say you are talking that way because maybe you... But things have happened. Even you could be staying with your husband and maybe I could say something about my dad selling something and my mom doesn't know. Says, oh, I think that house let us do... Oh, I think I sold that house. Then you do it. Then you divorce. No. You sit down. Well, you sold the house. Why? I didn't know. I didn't know about the money. Oh, you know, the money, it's, we did this and this and this. You know? Things are nothing. A successful man is not how much money you have. A successful man, I'm talking man as a woman and a man.
Mm-hmm.
For the man. A successful man is not how much money you have. A successful man or a successful woman is what kind of family you've brought out.
I'm sorry to cut you short, but it's not about a successful man and how much he has or doesn't have. I can be successful as a person with what I have or I don't have, but there's a lot of pain that comes with betrayal. With
yes.
this person, I went into it with the belief that it was going to work out for life. I put my everything in the basket. It doesn't matter whether we made it and we failed at a point or whatever, but just what I've always feared personally is, I mean, I'm a single parent and I'm pretty comfortable with it. I chose that for myself, you know, but I chose that out of the fear, just the fear.
Yeah.
I don't know, just the fear, the fear. The fear to get into it, you know, the marriage part of it, the commitment, and I work hard in it and put my everything, and then someone either walks out on me or changes, and I have to deal with the misery forever, you know, probably because of whatever I have put in the whole basket, or the other option is for me to get out and start all over. You know, the fear for me has kept me away from marriage. It's not about the money and everything, just the betrayal, the pain,
the
heart. How do I face that in just, you know, just that's just the thing. It's not about the money, really. It's just how to get past the fear of the betrayal, the pain, and see things different. That everything is gonna work out just fine.
My
you
sister,
know?
If I was a doctor, I have already diagnosed the sickness because you've mentioned the fear.
Uh-huh.
You have the fear, or other people have the fear.
Mhm.
The Bible says that God did not create the spirit of fear.
Right. Right.
But the spirit of power, everything. Love and what?
Spirit
and sound mind.
Spirit of love and a spirit of a sound
mind. Exactly, and a spirit of a sound mind. So our first enemy in this world, it is fear.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to pray for that fear in people to go away. Because if you tell me that I'm going to die tomorrow, it can't stop me building a house or planning for this country. Because I know I have descendants, like our forefathers did. Okay? Even Jesus had a fear. When he had a fear, he said, you know what? Father, if you could, you can take this away from me. You know, but he was maybe the Holy Spirit, maybe some forces from heaven. He was encouraged and he had to accomplish. So in that case, in fact, marriage, this is what I could say. Marriage is an institution we cannot graduate in. I can't say that. I'm talking for the experience of many years, just 3 years. But we have to work it out. Now you see when you read that and you say you are comfortable, you can't even get a man or what, you know, putting things together with other people because of the experience you had. Not all the people are the same.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, we are different.
Right.
So I think we need to pray so hard about that. Before you get a partner, you need to pray. And
right.
once you get a partner, you need to pray. And when you work
right.
out, when you work together and you pray together and you plan together, do you know what that
right.
means? Let me break it quickly. When we work together, that means that everything we have, it is ours.
Mm-hmm.
If we decide to apart, that means we have judges. That's why we have the book of Judges. We have judges in the country. They will say, you know what? You want these things together. You can't take all these things.
Right.
You get it, my sister?
Yes.
Plan together. Right. When you plan together and you find that this man is planning something in Uganda, I don't know. Then definitely you are going to plan something in Kenya also, I don't know. That means that we've started breaking our commitments.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
That's why we said plan together. So after working together and you've planned together, you have to pray together to seal it in the blood.
Yeah,
work together and you that plan together, and it could be taken by the devourer. But the spirit of fear is our first number one enemy.
Yeah.
You are even scared before anything happens.
I got you.
God bless you.
And I'll just add, just meditate on Philippians 2, verse 2. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. So if we all, as couples, want to work together, we got to be like-minded, being one in spirit and purpose. Amen?
Amen.
So amen.
We're all working towards one goal.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, we will have to work, plan, pray together. You know, that's
thank
my
you.
Husband said. That's what I, you know, that's what it's going to take.
And in another case, in fact, if people you've decided to make a divorce and you've brought up younger ones on this continent, then you have made up divorce, you just go and leave things for these kids. They need to go to school. They need to grow up. They need to be fed up. You know? Why can a man just say, I'm taking the things? You know, that's why we need also justice. Because even in the Bible, there was justice. In the Bible, in some things. That was unfair for what your dad did. I'm sorry for that. But
it's okay, thank you.
You should get scared.
Thank you for taking the time to answer me. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you for that question. I believe you have asked on behalf of so many. And thank you so much, Matthew and Irene. You really answered it very thoroughly. And let me add that, you know, really God is faithful to the lady who just called. Because as you heard me say, I come from a divorced family. There were no good marriages. In fact, of the cousins, the nieces and nephews, I was the first. A white wedding, and everybody was like, wow, well, you know, we don't know how long it's going to last. You're from two different nations. I mean, there were so many odds against us, but here we are, by the grace of God, 23 years later. But you see, I came in very conscious, knowing that I'm from a divorced background, and so I would say, Lord, you've got to help me. Help me to be that wise woman who builds her house. Help me to know how to honor, because I, you know, in our family, the women are very strong, independent, you know, go-getters. So being submissive was quite a challenge, but that's for another radio program. But as I'm just encouraging you that I too had to confront the fear, you know, what if it doesn't work out? What if I end up like my parents? But God truly answers prayer. And what I've found, like when, you know, you take that initiative to say, Lord, help me, you know, the Lord also works on that other person. So there is hope. There are some good men out there. There are some good marriages, as we can see by our dear Irene and Matthew. I believe we have another question.
Yes, I do have a question. Yeah, I do have a question. Thank you so much, Irene and Matthew. You talked about planning together, and you make it look so easy and automatic. And I'm sitting here thinking, sometimes even planning to go out to eat with a friend, it's like we cannot even come into agreement of where we are going. So I just want to ask, because you make it look so easy and automatic, but my question is, how do you come to a compromise, especially if someone wants to do something else? Who decides, okay, this time I'll be humble and I'll let Irene have her way, or I'll let Matthew have her way? How do you get to that level where you're, I'm the humble one, or I'm the one who's going to compromise?
Actually, I will answer that question first. Depending on the example you gave me, that people could be going out and still, you know, you don't compromise where to go. You know, you feel, you know, something hard for you to decide where. This is how we do it. Here in Massachusetts, for example, you have a Cheesecake Factory. I don't know if it is there.
Yes, we have it.
You have it.
Yes.
That's good. That's where I eat. And my wife knows that. I love.
When you come, we'll take you there.
Oh, bang, 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 bang. Chicken. That's my. You just look for bang, bang. Chicken without shrimp. That's my best dish. Then my wife, she likes to go to Indian what? Indian restaurants.
Yeah,
curry,
I really
curry,
like
goat, yeah, goat with mixed peanuts, something, you know. If last Sunday or last time, whether it was last year, we ended up going to Indian, the next outing it will be Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake.
Let us not make things hard. That's what I'm saying. I'll say it again. Let us not make things hard. We need to compromise things. We are from different mothers, different families, different countries, cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Very different. But, you know, you found this lady or you found this man, you agreed. But you have to know that you have some likes and unlikes.
Wow.
You have things which add up automatically and things which needs to be put together to add up.
Mm-hmm.
So, planning. If we say that, for example, we know that definitely in April we're gonna be in Texas for that conference. In fact, when we were buying tickets, I was arguing with my wife. She was like, "Let us go so that we could be there on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then we come back Monday evening." Then I told her, "Honey, I would love that. But Thursday I work, at the same time I go to school. Friday I work, at the same time I go to school. Monday I work, at the same time I go to school. Okay. I'll miss Friday, I'll miss Thursday, I'll miss Monday. Those are 3 days. Okay, let me just miss 2 days. Let us go on Friday, be there Saturday, be there Sunday, then leave Monday. You see? That is compromising.
Uh-huh.
You put it on the
uh-huh.
table. Already you bought tickets, you put it on the table. You know? That's how things work out.
So as much as my holiday mode wants to be gone for a week, I have to realize that, you know what, I have to consider my husband and his school.
His schedule.
So I might not be 100% happy with the decision that we have to take a 9 o'clock flight on a Monday morning to come back to Worcester so he can be in class.
In
the evening, I'm like, "Babe, can't you just miss that class, you know?" But then it's very important to him that he makes it for his class. And so what? It's not a big deal. I can come back and just be home and he's happy. We're both happy. It's a compromise, you know. But, Shiko, what you're asking is very important. I mean, you're saying, you're right. Some people, especially when you're dating, you don't even agree on a time that you can even meet, you know, or you can't even agree on, I don't know, something so little. Yeah, there's some, I understand what Shiko is saying. There's some people you can't even agree on some things. And I went through the same. But I have to say, I think.
Same with me.
No. I have to agree that when God sends you your husband, seriously, this is something very honest.
Yeah.
When God sends you your husband and it's your life partner, and this is something you have trusted God for, I'm not saying it's automatic, but seriously, the Holy Spirit makes things just work with ease. You don't struggle.
Yes.
You do not struggle. Like,
those are red flags.
Yeah, so you just, like, I'll tell my husband, okay, I wanna do this. I want to go for a weekend away on this date. Even sometimes I'm even coming thinking he'll say no, and he'll be like, "Oh, yeah, go ahead." You know? Because he's, you know, there are things that just happen. Yeah, there are things that happen with ease. I'll say, "Baby, I need a weekend away to my sister. Can you, you're going to be with a kid?" He's like, yeah, go ahead. You go enjoy, you know, time out as a mom, and I'll watch the baby. You know, so again, something
Think also where there's love, you know, your heart is tender for the person.
Right.
So something that can be so tough, because you love that person, it's really a joy to go above and beyond. I remember with my late mother-in-law, every time Apostle would speak to her, he'd always say, okay, mommy, hold on for my wife. Now, Mama, she knew Luganda, knew Swahili, but she was just a typical proud, and I'm saying, no, I'm not saying this in a bad way. She didn't like to speak other languages. She loved to speak Kinyarwanda. Just look at him and say, but honey, he would just say, please, can you do it for me? As soon as he says, can you do it for me, immediately I'll just come, Mama, and the little Kinyarwanda, you know, and I'll do a bit of Luganda. As soon as I go into Luganda, silence. You know, I'll go back to Luganda. But she would be smiling, saying, I don't know this wife of yours. I don't know why you won't teach a Kinyarwanda. You're teaching a Luganda. But anyway, but I'm saying all this to say it would be like a short 5-minute conversation. But to him, it meant so much for me to talk to his mom, even though there's that language barrier. So, Shiko, out of love, when that handsome Mr. Isaac comes, you'll be surprised at the things you'll be doing. We're going to laugh at you.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It's called going the extra mile. Any other questions for this wonderful couple?
No other questions for tonight.
Everybody's shy on the line.
Yeah. Yeah, but thank you for answering my question very well.
You're welcome.
Yes, we appreciate you so much, Matthew and Irene, for your sincerity and just for pouring your heart and keeping it real. And, you know, we just love the example you are and the spiritual stand also you've taken. We can both see that you just love God passionately. And really where God is first, everything else falls into place. Even when there are challenges and conflicts, you know, you are able, because the love is there, the foundation of the Word of God is there, you are able to work things out. So are you teaching your precious little girl Kikuyu, Luganda?
Actually, I'll be able to answer that.
Yes,
I
Mr. Matthew.
Because, one day somebody asked me, now, Matthew, we know that you're a prince and, you know, that is a princess, but, you know, you take her to the shoshos, those, the judges,
grandmas.
The grandmas, you know, to take care of her sometimes, you know. How are you going to do? You know, the girl is going to end up speaking Kikuyu. How are you going to do about that?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you love someone, there are even some things we don't see. Sincerely. In fact, some of us, we are even admiring that we wish we knew more than 1, 2, 3 languages.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, for us in our culture, we welcome a lot of people.
Yeah.
If you read about the history of Uganda, my grandfather was the first president of Uganda in 1962. Became the first president when we got our independence.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see what went out there, you'll find a lot of people from Rwanda who were welcomed. They did not find any other part of Uganda, maybe northern Uganda, or Eastern, they all went to Buganda.
Right.
Even a lot of Kikuyus, because Kikuyus and Baganda are a Bantu group, you know, there are some things which are similar. So in that case, for me, I don't see it as a problem. Let her know the Kikuyu when she goes to Uganda. Let her try to know the Luganda. Let her speak English, you know, because we're just in transition. We need to put that in our mind, whether we like it or not. Whether you are going to be here 200 years like a tortoise on this world, 200 years will come to pass, and you have to go somewhere. You have to be where there is your destiny. So we don't see that as something very big.
No.
Whether she speaks Kikuyu, okay, let her speak Kikuyu, she will teach me. Because the father doesn't know Kikuyu. She will teach me, Daddy, this means this. This means this. For me, I don't see that as a problem. And even my wife, she's so proud. She's like, huh? She goes to Uganda, let her be there. Let her speak Luganda, you know. Because that can't break our love, can't break our marriage. If God enabled me in my few English words to really convince my wife, that's enough. I don't need to know the Kikuyu or the Luganda, you know.
Wow, what a, a beautiful, that's a great attitude that you you both have. Now, what about children? This is going to be the last question, and Shiko, just get ready to make the conference announcement, because I know some people are logged in late. Child rearing, you know, one may be very, my apostle grew up under a very strict uncle. So sometimes I feel, oh, he's too strict on the boys. And of course, ours is opposite. Our dad spoiled us rotten. So he feels sometimes I'm spoiling these boys too much, giving them everything they want. So how do you compromise? Who's the strict one? Time out. And who's the one who's like, sure, you can have ice cream before dinner? No, not that bad, but
I'll take that again. I think I'm more strict.
Oh, of course.
Because the family I grew up, we were on timetable of everything. Because our father used to tell us, you cannot have discipline. They cannot say that you are disciplined if you are not on the timetable.
Mm-hmm.
If it is time for food, time for food. Stop praying outside there, praying soccer. Come with it as a family. If it is time to read books, time to read books. Time for prayers, time for prayers. Time to sleep, to be in the house, time to sleep, to be in the house. If I call you, I expect you to be here within seconds. Because you are within in the house. If I calculate my house, it has 20 meters. He used to say that. 20 meters long. If you are in the next bedroom, maybe it has 5 meters. I expect you to be here in 2 seconds if I calculate that. So when I call you and you take a minute, seems that you try to become big-headed. So it was not kind of hard, you know, it was not kind of hard, but he was trying to make us to be obedient, to have discipline, to be sharp, to be intelligent, to be alert, you know. He was serious, but at the same time, when time comes for love, you know, he could tell us stories, sitting there telling us stories. I studied here, I went to Britain, I studied this. So you people, if you are not clever like I used to be, you are shaming me. Things like that. We used to joke, we used to talk, you know, but he was strict. In fact, he was about to call us on the whistle. I don't know if you watched the movie The Captain, Sound of Music.
Yes.
He used to love that movie so much. You know, he used to call me Matt. When he calls, he can even whisper, Matt. Then you know he's calling you. You come up quickly. You stand in front of him. Or you kneel down. You say, yes, Dad. He tells you what he wants. Go clean. Go brush my shoes. And if somebody has done something wrong at home, he sings a song. In you know, by the rivers of Babylon. Then you know there is someone who is going to be punished. He did something wrong. You know? But we used to love it. But at the same time, strictness, you know. You spoil the child. Spoil the Lord and spoil the child, you know.
Yeah.
But not exactly beating. It could be word. It could be just even somebody giving you an eye, like our mother does. You do something bad, looks at you, then you say, Mom, I'm sorry, I won't do it again.
Oh, and Irene... Your child-rearing practices?
Oh my goodness. So mine is the total opposite. I'm probably like you. We grew up, my mother never laid, you know, na Kikuyu women beat their kids, but my mother has never beaten me as a child. So we grew up like totally opposite from my husband. It was very, very laissez-faire, very laid back, very loving. Well, not that theirs wasn't loving. So I think he gives, at least I can say my husband gives us that balance, because maybe I can be too soft.
Yes, and kids need that firm discipline.
Yes, and she knows when daddy says something, she knows, oh my God, that's my dad. You can tell that she will respond to that. Yeah, I don't know whether she does know when I mean serious, yeah. I know, well, she knows when I'm serious, but she knows that she can always come to mommy and kind of run all over and just be a baby around me. Yeah, but at the same time, you know, I'm learning to be firm with her, you know.
Yes, because boy, me, kids take advantage, they test.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Ms. Shiko, before we close, announcement for those who logged in towards the end.
Yes, April 16th to the 19th, 11th annual Spring Prophetic Conference, Fresh Aroma Spring Prophetic Conference. We would like to invite all of you to Dallas. It will be held at the Sheraton DFW Hotel, Airport Hotel in Irving, Texas. The dates again are April 16th to the 19th. We have a wonderful lineup of dynamic speakers you would do not want to miss. We also have a children's ministry. So those of you with children, come with your children. We have teachers that are ready to minister to them. Also, during the conference, Apostle Darius and Prophetess Mark are celebrating 25 years in ministry. And as a result of that, we are commemorating that with a dinner, a Silver Jubilee Black Tie dinner, Saturday, April the 18th at 5 p.m. This dinner is $50. You can buy it online from our website, www.fresharomaministry.org. That's www.fresharomaministry.org. Or you can buy them from Eventbrite. If you go to Eventbrite, just search for our event, Silver Jubilee. It's a black tie affair. The colors are black, white, and silver. So looking forward to seeing you April 16th through the 19th in Dallas, Texas.
Thank you so much, Ms. Shiko. And we want to thank you, Prince Matthew, Princess Irene, for a wonderful, enriching, enlightening time once again. We have been so, so blessed. What an example, what a testimony. To God be the glory. So we are looking forward to, I'm sorry about that. We are looking forward to seeing you both in April, and I know the listeners are looking forward to meeting you. So get ready to meet lots and lots of people who've been blessed by your testimony last week and this week. Just keep that love, that unity, that harmony. You have touched so many. You know, by the way, this program is listened to by people from all over. I was so surprised when every time we go to Uganda, people are like, you know, we listen to Solution. They tune in later. You know, you can go online. So this, what you have shared, are people from Zambia, Kenya, London. I mean, this is the power of social media. So thank God for the two of you, and thank God for those of you who have tuned in. Please tune in again next Tuesday. Like our page on Facebook. We appreciate you so much, Mr. and Mrs. Choi. Can't wait to see you next month. Please greet our Boston family for us. We look forward to see many of them during the conference.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you so much. We love you. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And thank you, listeners. Everybody have a good night. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye. Bye.